The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful, here with a name you know. I was telling him just off the air, a huge inspiration to what I did. You know him from Kayfabe Commentaries. You know him from Click This. Sean Oliver, how you doing, man?
What's going on? How are you? We're two Seans. We spell the name the same. Gets confusing in the emails sometimes. Sean, tell Sean. Have Sean handle the Sean. Sean handle.
Did you
Sean.
Deal with all the bullshit of people being like, you spell your name wrong when you were younger, too?
Not really. Sometimes today it blows my mind how people pronounce it when they see it. Sometimes people born in this country, yes. I understand if you just got here, but somebody here, a scene, you know, it's yes. Like, really? I mean, you never saw Sean before, but how many famous Seans are left, right? Sean Connery gone.
P. Diddy.
Right, but yeah, Sean, do people call him Sean Combs? Yeah. They call him P. Diddy, right? Sean Penn isn't in the news enough. So, you and I are the last of dying breed. We're going to kind of have to carry this on if you're all right with that.
I'm all right with it. I'm happy with the name. I even added a damn third name to mine. I was like, you know what? I need to stand out even more. So it's Sean Ross Sapp. So by God, here we are. And we're talking about Click This, among other things. And I was so happy to hear that you and Kevin Nash were doing a podcast together because you guys are my favorite interview combination of all time. Like, to me, the teabagging Jim Cornette line was probably my favorite line in the history of wrestling interviews. Like, you had to know immediately, like, you all had something very special there when you're doing those.
It was people like you, Sean. It was fans that, I mean, I always enjoyed the shows. Kevin obviously enjoyed the shows. He was willing to do them for next to nothing, but, which he doesn't do.
Yes, I know.
But if people would talk, and we would consistently see over the years, while Kayfabe Commentaries was still very active, not just the legacy stuff we're airing now, of course, on YouTube, which we'll talk about.
Sure.
But people would request it and enjoy it. Then even after that, it continued. The words that were thrown around were chemistry and all this stuff, the impossible things to prove. They just wanted to hear me and Kevin talk. Well, he was talking. I was mostly asking questions. So we that started. And then about, it was 2018, I guess, when he said, well, let's do a podcast. And there weren't as many wrestling podcasts in 2018. It's like, you know, the baby boomers, the podcast boom happens, and there's a proliferation of little bastards running around called podcasts. And, some should live, some should meet another fate, maybe. But there are a lot, and there's a lot of competition now for people's attention. So in 2018, there was less so. But Kevin is still very busy. I mean, he's retired from the ring, but he's often obligated to other wrestling promotions for other things.
Oh, I saw the cannabis commercial too. Yeah.
Then there's stuff like that.
Pretty wild.
Yeah. His travel schedule is pretty crazy too. So after a few false starts, we talk about it. I'd get random texts at 2 a.m. like, me, you, podcast, call me tomorrow. And, you know, we call and we talk, and it would just, it would never gain traction. So finally this year, he said, it's now or never. There's just too many out there. We're going to have to do this. So I said, if we're going to do it, it's going to have to be a commitment. We're going to have to do it the right way. It's going to have to be, a real deal for people. You know, it's going to have to be a reliable thing for folks. And that was it. And we were off to the races, and we went 100 miles an hour, and now Click This is a thing.
I love it. I mean, he's just one of the most eloquent, but funny, charming guys out there. And I think honestly, you're the best interviewer I've ever seen in wrestling. And the way that you have always approached it is with this both remarkable professionalism and research, but the entertainment aspect is there because you're dealing with sports entertainment. You have to have a mix of those to keep an audience engaged. Like when you're refining something like that, is there ever like sort of a give and take in that sense for you where you're like, damn, maybe I want to turn it up and be a little more entertaining, but I want to scale it back and get this answer and be professional. But I mean, ultimately what you're trying to do is just engage the audience.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's a product. It's entertainment. I always said that, like the best guest for a show is at the crossroads of engaging and entertaining and knowledgeable. If one is absent, it's a dead end street. So sometimes people would question us. We had a series Timeline where we would have one guest chronicle 1 year in wrestling. And sometimes people would question, he never had the heavyweight title that year. Yes. But the guy that did is very unavailable.
Yes.
And the guy below him will put you to sleep if you listen to their voice for 2 hours. So you had to find right guest, right show. So we needed someone to be able to talk about that entire year. They had to be working near the top of the card to be involved in all the TV tapings so that they could talk about everything that went on in whatever, 1987. But also be funny. So the year I cited, 1987, was the Honky Tonk Man. Entertaining, Intercontinental Champion, perfect. He could talk about everything that went on in 1987. So entertainment value was very important to me. We had top of the line research. Anthony was my business partner in the company and the one who did all of the research to the detriment of his eyes and his health, probably how much we did to make sure. Because listen, with a timeline, you're talking about 20 years ago, 30 years ago in some cases.
An unreal amount of research. Like, because you all, not only that, you're displaying some of the notes on the screen as well. So
right.
We get to physically see a lot of the research that went into this.
People also often ask, why cut to the words? Well, in my mind, I'd said, no one will ever write a total compendium about the history of the WWE.
Yeah.
No one will do it. Or someone will do it and it'll be research. It'll be some historian or podcast host who's going to research and write it. But what if we got each chapter written by one of the top workers that year? And if your DVD shelf was almost like a huge book with all the chapters. So it was almost like you read the beginning of a chapter, March 1st, 1987, the Honky Tonk Man defeats blah, blah, blah. And then Honky comes out of the page and begins to talk to you about that time. That was my very acid trippy vision of timeline. And that's why the text, because it was kind of like a book come to life in my mind.
And I mean, then there were times where like you would happen to be like, okay, oh, Vince Russo wrote the show. He's available. Bret Hart was at the top of the card. He is available. Like, you never know what you're going to get. And then there's some, admittedly, I went into Brian Myers and I was like, well, why'd they get this guy? Then I watched it and I said, oh, that's why they got this guy. Because he is all those things. He's engaging and funny. And, oh, he was around the top of the card at that time, too. It just didn't, like, really stand out in your mind that he was.
I was surprised sometimes when I would call Anthony and go, listen, so-and-so's available. Anthony would be like, he was only there 6 months that year. I'm like, really? And I look it up, particularly in the earlier days. Now guys stay around for forever, but
yeah.
Guys would cycle the territories, come in and do 6 months, 8 months WWE, and then go to Portland or whatever, right? So I'd come up with a name, and I'm like, that's great. We'll have him do like 1976, and be like, he wasn't there. And then, so I say, well, who was there? And you go through the research, you look at all the match histories, like on the history of WWE.com, places that compile this stuff, and you go, Kevin Sullivan. And I go, no, I can't have Kevin Sullivan on a WWE show. And I'd look, and the fucking guy did jobs. I don't know if the year is 1976, but like one of those years, Sullivan jobbed for almost 12 months there. And nobody else was there. Top of the card, middle of the card, guys would cycle. So I was even surprised at some of the names that we would have to have cover entire years.
That's amazing. That was my favorite series too. I loved Timeline. I loved it because there were so many things. Like I could pick up a year before I was born and I didn't know a lot about wrestling before then. And chronologically you learn about it and not in the WWE kind of whitewashed way. You get to hear from a personality who was there. And usually if they're doing a shoot interview, they're well past the point of like, yeah, I'm going back there. I'm going to go do some work there. They're ready. They're there to tell the story. They're there and they're ready to go. And I just always loved that. And this, the other series that you guys would branch off into, I mean, some of them got real and emotional. Was there ever a time where you were like, this is too much. I don't know if I can air this type of thing.
No, because that if I was saying that meant that I had something very arable that people would talk about. So the moment I wanted to vomit, I talk about something in the introduction of one of my books, The Business of Kayfabe. I was talking about, or was it Father's Blood? I don't even know myself. No, it was Father's Blood, which talked about parents in wrestling. We had done the first episode of Breaking Kayfabe, which was a series where we talked about wrestlers' lives outside the ring. And it became a very, I know it was going to be a serious show, but it became a very emotional show. It was with Sean Waltman, X-Pac. We were talking about his struggles with addiction and disappointments and things that he was personally disappointed in his life. And I brought up his kids and I said them by name. And it took him out at the knees. I mean, it devastated him. And he said, I just really wish you didn't say that. And I said, I'll bleep it, but just stay here and talk to me about them. And I Sean is someone who I always had a good relationship with and I like him very much. And I felt extremely disappointed in myself.
Sweetheart of a guy.
Amazing guy. And in this show, he was owning up to a lot of stuff. And I knew by saying his kids' names, saying the names, not, well, what about your kids? What do they think? Saying the names would take him somewhere viscerally. And I was nauseated that I did that as a person. But as a producer, the interview went where I wanted it to go. And it's an interesting dichotomy.
Yeah.
So to answer your question, the things that make us good people don't necessarily make us good producers of entertainment.
That's a fair point. I mean, I ran into a situation one time where I got presented with an interview with Alberto Del Rio, and he had done some pretty dicey shit. And I was like, all right, if he, by the way, there had been pending litigation and things about this. I was like, if he maintains some sort of responsibility for this, I mean, I'll talk to him. That's the job. I'll talk to him. But then we get on the air and it was really gross. And it was really hard to sit there, and I had to cut it off. And I was like, I ain't fucking airing this. I can't, there's no way I could personally do it because of a lot of, I knew it was factually incorrect what he was saying. And he wouldn't hear that I happened to know this information. So, I mean, have you ever gotten sort of a confrontational type of thing like that? Or heat from something that, like, maybe you just aired? Because, I mean, obviously, you'll make little jokes here and there, but largely it's the subject talking. But a lot of times you get that shrapnel, as they call it, that shrapnel heat where you get it by association.
No, there was there. I don't think there was ever a time where a topic came up that was so off color or taboo that we didn't air it. Usually the talent would just answer. Mm-hmm. And listen, the worst thing for a shoot producer to have on set would be a lie detector. I told people, they're like, oh, why aren't you calling him on this? So what proof is he going to present me right now one way or the other? We're talking about 35 years ago. And ultimately, my job is to entertain you. We're not the nightly news. So the worst thing for me to do would have been to put someone through a polygraph. Don't think we didn't have plans for a show called Wrestler Polygraph that we sat down with people who have said outrageous things and wanted to see what came out. That, and we had a great, you know what, shows never produced. You shoot from beyond. A Ouija board and a medium there. We would only ask questions to deceased wrestlers. And the medium would either channel it or it would be spelled out on the Ouija board. We talked about it. We never did it. So those are things that are best stayed in the quarterly meetings, best kept in the quarterly meetings. Listen to me, English major. I'm not. So to answer your question, I think anything that went on air was okay. I have cut stuff before.
Yeah.
We edit our shows, but a shoot interview company that edits their shows. Imagine that. Yes, but usually it was when it veered into someone outside the business, a wife, kids. They didn't sign up for this. The talent, when they decided to be on television for their lives, they signed up for it. You want to talk about another wrestler being a douchebag? That's fine. But family is where we usually drew the line. And anything criminal, anyone accusing someone of something criminal, obviously you got to disclaimer that or cut it all together.
So one of my dream interviews is still Dixie Carter for some reason, but a lot of that reason is the interview you all did. And what a unique thing. You all were white hot and Dixie was like, let me get on board. Let's do this damn thing. Did you, like, what were you expecting based on her unique approach to what she did and sort of the fandom? Do you think she knew what she was getting into in that regard?
You shoot was always the promise of you shoot was unrestricted fan access to somebody, usually over video, the safety of video or the keyboard. If you want to insult somebody, you want to use your time for that, send it in. You want to compliment somebody, propose to somebody, send it in. We'll play it for them and get their reaction. We just had to make sure we had people that were entertaining enough as guests and lightning rods to elicit such a passionate outpouring. So people like Dixie Carter, who people have to understand that the context and the time frame here, everyone was talking about TNA versus WWE at the time. And Vince certainly wasn't coming on any of my shows to face the fans and ask and field anything they wanted. I thought I had a shot with Dixie, who might say, yeah, we're the underdogs and fuck it. You want to ask me anything? And that's exactly what happened. So we got, we were fortunate that she did it. And we aired everything. I mean, the initial.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Criticism was going to be, oh, they won't put on disrespectful questions. If you've ever seen the show, yes, there are questions asked from the toilet. Somebody being woken up who rolls over and goes, oh, I'm sorry, I fell asleep. Must have been watching the last TNA pay-per-view. We aired it all. I edited one question out of the show. One, which it was a question about her grooming preferences.
Oh, okay.
I thought we didn't have to go there.
Sure.
But anything wrestling related?
Did she answer it?
What's that?
Did she answer
it? Oh, no, I never asked. Oh, I mean, okay. I cut it on paper. I was like, I can't do this.
Okay.
How am I going to sit there? And I wonder if I would have.
Like, and that isn't me being interested in the answer. That's me being interested if she would have answered, type of thing.
No, please. Like, you don't want to know if she answered wood floor or full bush. Come on.
Oh, man. But I mean, a lot of these series we've talked about, they're going to be on Best of the KC Vault memberships that you guys have available. And YouTube is such it was such a big part of kayfabe commentaries before you were probably actually making money off of it, because you all were one of the most pirated things, quite honestly, on the internet. How, like, do you sort of parse that where you're like, okay, I've got the stuff that I'm selling, people are putting it out here for free, but then you end up launching your own thing, which is how it should be. You should be making money off of your work.
It went, there was kind of a chronology to everything. We first came out and it was a DVD world at the time. So People were purchasing this stuff on DVD. We used YouTube for trailers. We would air our trailers to our stuff and direct people to the website to buy the DVDs. Naturally, with that and with anything that people love, you have piracy. People don't bother to pirate stuff that isn't loved and requested.
Good point.
Desired. I looked at it as a compliment. So the way I kind of handled that was full shows would have to be taken down. Obviously, this is a business model. It's, you know, there's no more shows if we can't pay for them. So,
of course.
But when people would put up their favorite 10 minutes of You Shoot Tony Atlas, I said, what a great commercial.
Yes.
Great commercial for this. So that's how we treated it. People who did clips. And not 35 clips in a row of the same show. People put up four clips here or there. I looked at it as a compliment and really a great advertisement for our stuff. So YouTube now becomes not just a supplement to programming, but a vehicle to deliver programming, like a network, like a streaming network. Even with their original shows like Cobra Kai and whatnot. So now it's a channel. So we can start putting our stuff up. Now, additionally, in order to handle the vast piracy, and I had no idea how rampant it was.
It was very rampant.
Oh, my God. Like, I would see stuff on my own. People would send me clips. We finally decided with a company, listen, let's go through. Let's claim all this electronically. And if there are ads running on it, redirect the ads to us.
Of course.
And if there are no ads, we put ads. People want to share their favorite videos, that's fine, but they shouldn't be making money off it.
Yes, I agree.
So that's what we did. We said, let's leave everything there. Let's just derive the revenue from it. 2,200 videos in our first iteration of this anti-piracy push, whatever it was called. So I was like, wow. Okay, so we were filled with parasites and, you know, we didn't even know, we were a little itchy. So that's what we did. Then we started doing Best of the KC Vault. KC Vault was a subscription-based channel. DVDs were gone. And so now we needed to do the subscription-based channel. Yeah. And we put our stuff on, it was hosted by a company called Pivot Share, still is, on one of our channels. And so we put our stuff out there. Now, as part of that subscription channel, fans were asking for things that justifiably they should have been, because I would have been also. How come we don't have an app that we could just launch and watch this stuff? Why do I have to log in and go through them? Why don't I have an app that I can put on my smart TV so I could watch it on a big TV? Good question. You know, here we are, 2022.
Yeah.
So we were already using YouTube to show free videos as a sample of what was in our Vault subscription. Every month we put 5 or 10 videos up, full length, watch the whole show. There are ads. to derive some revenue, but they're free for you to watch. And if you want to subscribe, we have, you know, whatever, 500, 600 hours of programming, go to the vault and you can have all the shows. But we weren't able with the other developer to get all those apps and that accessibility that everybody wanted.
Yeah.
So by moving everything to YouTube, and we were also allowed to put more on YouTube than we were putting on the other channel also. Yeah. So we said, let's do it. Let's make YouTube the host of the vault on YouTube. And people can watch the free videos. If they like it, click the join button. And now for $14.99, they can watch all of our programming, 183 shows, full-length shows, edited music. 183, I guess, doesn't sound like a lot, but these
it's
are full 2-3 hours, lit, scripted, shot, edited, scored, full productions, full-length feature productions, 180-something of them. And now they can do that via YouTube. You've got the power of YouTube, the stretch of YouTube. You can get it on just about every smart TV now. You can watch it on TV on all your devices, whether it's Android or iPhone. So now the vault, we have the existing vault for people who like their service on PivotShare. But if you want to cancel that and come over to YouTube to get that power of YouTube, you can do that now.
The platform of YouTube makes a lot of sense too, because like maybe one day you decide you want to do shoot interviews, you want to do them live, you want to do a you shoot live on YouTube for your members, that's an option for you. You can do that.
Of course.
They can send in questions as you're live on the air. Like it is a very versatile platform for interviews like that as well. But I mean, the content library that you guys have is just so immense, and it encompasses so many different things. And not just things that happened, but hypothetical things too. Like that was one of the, like guest booker was such an incredible series as well, where you go inside the mind of a lot of these people, some of them revered, some of them highly criticized, and find out like, what the hell would you have done in this situation? What would you have done differently? And like wrestling fans love to fantasy book. They love history as well. They get to learn about history. They get to hear just straight up shoot interview stories from people. Like it's such a versatile catalog, and you guys did so much there. I think it's great that it's so widely available now.
The shoot interview existed as a sit down static shot with somebody talking about their career from start to finish. Mm-hmm. We've gotten to a point where we've seen almost everyone already.
Yeah.
So when we got into the game, we said, well, we've got to format this. We've got to come up with formatting in the shoot framework. So people talking honestly about wrestling. But how are we going to do it differently? I don't care who trained you anymore. We know, we heard Hiro Matsuda trained you in Florida. Fantastic. What now? What are we going to do with this guest? So guest booker was actually the first series we did, and we actually didn't plan on series based stuff. But we did the first guest booker, and we said, you know what? We can bring every booker in here and give them a different scenario and have them book it on camera, something they were not creatively responsible for in wrestling. Could have even been a different generation.
Yeah.
But how would they have handled it? And so the first few shows were very heavy on the booking, the fantasy booking element of it. And we saw people were dissatisfied with that. They're like, well, I hate fantasy booking. It's too many variables. They just erase reality from it. And I was like, okay, so that makes a little bit of sense. So what started to happen was we started to kind of meld the profile of that person's creative mind with that fantasy booking exercise, which was to be the second half of the show. Unless you were Mike Graham and you walked in and you talked for the first half of the show and then said, I don't know how to book anything. And then went down to the table of wrestlers at the bar. And when they said, that was fast, what did you book? And he said, I booked my way out of it.
Yeah. I mean, you got a good meme out of it though, didn't you? At least you got a good story, I guess.
You got a good story out of it that I could tell people. Yeah.
Yeah, that's gave you your money's worth, kid. Like, it's how often did you deal with the carny aspect of it? Of course, we know some stories about people just not showing up, but like those people that'd be like, yeah, I'm gonna take this money. I'm not gonna give them anything. Did you have to deal with that much, if at all? Because I mean,
well, the famous story is the Conan. We sent him the deposit, and two times he didn't come. He's concocted some excuse that it was a health issue, but it wasn't. He just didn't come and didn't pick up the phone for us or the convention promoters or anybody. So it's pointless to give him airtime about it. But the reason I was most disappointed was it was going to be a great guest booker. He was going to talk about booking Lucha. So it would have been such a great addition to that, to that set. It was only $500 to us, but it was a whole show, which would have been historically valuable to fans. So, you know, you fuck us, that's one thing. You fuck your fans, that's something altogether different. So there was that. A wrestler might have shown up in no condition to perform. And we said, you know, you're Buff, you look real tired tonight, so let's do this another time.
Oh, no.
And then he didn't, which is unfortunate because that would have been a good show also. And let's see, Sid didn't get on a plane once.
Oh, that's shocking.
I know, right? I didn't even tell the crew to show up when I booked it 2 months before. I had let them think they had the weekend off because I knew he wasn't coming.
He blamed the travel ban. The Trump travel ban one time for missing a booking.
Yeah. Ours was he lost his wallet in the airport.
Okay. Yeah, he had to fly from wherever, like Arizona to Cleveland, and he said, sorry, brother, the Trump travel ban. And they're like, that's not for America. That's not a thing. So they had EC3 dress up as Sid and sign all the stuff that he was supposed to sign that night. So, I mean, you're not alone in that one.
But there was no money transacted there. Very rarely did we send advances because of this kind of shit. So, you know, as a wise promoter, you get paid when you show up. There were a couple of people who, sizable names that needed money up front. I knew that sending a certified chick to check to Dixie Carter wouldn't have been a problem.
I was going to say, if you send a certified chick to some of these people, you ain't never seeing that chick again. You're not going to ever see that chick again.
For the most part, you know, there was no advance money, so didn't worry about it.
So, as we wrap up, not only do you, have the Casey Vault and Click This, but, you've written several books, including a couple about your life in wrestling, but also, several novels as well. I read the 2017 book. As a kayfabe commentaries fanatic, that was just so fascinating. So fascinating to hear about. What like finally got you to put pen to paper, or I don't know, fingers to keyboard, so to speak?
I mean, I've been writing my whole life. I was in entertainment, and before that, just as a kid needing constant creative outlet, I wrote short stories. I was a reader of novels and horror films and stuff, so I was always writing. And the first writing project I was supposed to do professionally was Todd Gordon's autobiography 5 years ago, which he fortunately backed out of. Stuff going on in his life, couldn't get it done. And I said, well, I got my writing boner on here. So, you know, something's got to happen. So that's where kayfabe came. I said, let me put words to paper, not about my life, but about running a company in the professional wrestling world. And not one the size of WWE, a production company the size of kayfabe commentaries, dealing with all these recognizable names in this crazy carny world. It became a hit beyond my. It was 19 months as the number one bestseller on Amazon in the wrestling category. Now I know the wrestling category; it's like a little bit like being the smartest guy in jail, but still, 19 months number one bestseller in any category.
Yes.
I knocked myself off a couple of times with my subsequent releases, but then kayfabe, that first book, would always go back to the top. There would be a wrestler release.
So
someone
good.
A wrestler would write a book. JR would write a book, and I'd get knocked down to third or second. And then a week later, kayfabe was back at number one. I don't know how or why. I don't credit
myself. It's a good-ass book. It's a great book.
I guess, but it wasn't my plan. I wanted to tell my story for the kayfabe commandos. I figured they would eat it up, however many, you know, a few thousand of them there were. I didn't expect the other stuff. So then I put out a couple of subsequent wrestling books and more, and some novels that opened the door for novels, some thrillers. And then just this past year, about last November, I always talked to Todd, and he said, I'm ready. And I said, You'll tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, no matter what. He said, yeah, let's do it. And so we started last November, and we just, our agent sold the book last couple of weeks ago to Permuted Press, which published John Moxley's book this year and Tyrus's book. So they want to get a foothold on the wrestling aspect of sports. Yeah. So they thought that this would be would derive a crazy cult following, is what they said. So we're going to prove them true when it finally comes out. It's called Todd Is Gone.
Check it out, guys. Check out the KC Vault, youtube.com/KC Vault. Join their memberships. Check out Click This as well. A lot of great stuff from one of my favorite content creators that has ever been in wrestling. Sean, I thank you so much for taking the time. We got to talk again because I've got so many things I want to pick your brain about, but I truly appreciate it.
You got it. Whenever you want.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
NordVPN.com/Fightful. Browse safely, browse securely, change your virtual location with just one click on all your devices. Multiple tiers that allow you to get exactly what services you want. 4 months free, a 30-day money-back guarantee. Get access to content that's geo-blocked in your area. Get access to pay-per-views at a much more affordable price thanks to that content that you unlock with NordVPN.com/Fightful. Block annoying pop-up ads. Block malware. NordVPN.com/Fightful. How are you going to pass this up? Really? How? I use it every day. Every day. It makes my browsing experience so much better. You should do it too. NordVPN.com/Fightful.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is a company that's pushing back against this tide. They make high-quality clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, dresses, jackets, and so much more, right here in the USA. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order when you use code STAPLE20 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, promo code STAPLE20.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.